Okay, now moving on to a different topic. Okay? Totally different. Back to last week's stuff. Halacha. So, we talked about the idea that in Erev Tavshilin you need a Kazayas. Right? You need a Kazayas. Right? And we talked about the question is, do you need a Kazayas per person or a Kazayas altogether? And we said, is it that the Chafza has to be a Kazayas? So then who cares how many people there are that's a Chafza, it's a Chafza. What do you say it's Pshat is in my the Heter of the Erev is that I'm relying on the Tavshil. So then you'll say, is my Heter only relates to the part which I own? In which case, each person would have to have a Kazayas. But it's teaching you no. The Heter does not demand the Kazayas. That's the way we hold. The Heter really demands any amount. And therefore, you could just own a tiny bit. The Din Kazayas is just a Din. The Chafza has to be Chashav. It has to be a certain type of a food. So it's not a Kazayas. It's not considered food. It's not Michael Shabbos or something like that. It has to be significant to us. A Chafza. But the Chafza is the same Chafza for 100 people. It's one Chafza Shel Erev, and that's the Shir. Right? Okay. So, Tosos brings down, this is on Tezayin Amabeh, is the top Tosos. He says, V'gimel dinam yesh b'hilchas Erev. So there are three types of Erevs, and the halacha of the Shi'or for each of them is different. Okay. Each different from the next. Okay. He says, Erevet chulmen tzach shtei sudas achalachar b'echad. Tzachir masak b'hajib Erevim. So Erevet chulmen, you need 2 meals per person. Okay? 2 meals per person. Okay? Erev Chatzeres, Sarach Kigogras, Lechal Echad. Erev Chatzeres, you need a fig per person. Hachi Masik Badger Erevin. Ad Shesh Ne Sudas. Yeshem Al Shesh Sudas, and Sarach Yosar Filomea. Lechal Nesmachalav. So, by Erev Chatzeres, which is in the courtyard where they're jointly dwelling in some sort of, in some joint Roshos. So via the food, which sets them up as partners. So it's you need a grogers per person, but it maxes out at 2 sudos. So even if you have 100 people, so it's sufficient to have two sudos. So that's why a box of matzah suffices for an entire town. You don't say you need a grogers per person. Okay? But if you have 3 people, you need 3 figs. 4 people, you need 4 figs. I think they say 18 people is when it becomes 2 sudas. I think. Okay? And then, Erev Tavshilin, Bein Lecha, Bein Lamei, Ein Atzarech, Ela Kazayas, Lechol Min Vemin. By Erev Tavshilin, you just need a Kazayas altogether, no matter how many people you have. Right? So, just thought it would be nice if we could explain a little bit what the sense of these 3 different ideas are. Erev Tavshilin would have explained, right? Just need a matir for the you have to start your bishul. And any amount is sufficient for that. And the only thing is the chafza has to be a shir, has to be a kazayas. Right? So maybe for starters, let's just start with Erev Tavshilin versus Erev Tchumen. Because Erev Chatzeres is funny, like that. You know, the maximum is funny idea. It's like a dual system, you know? So let's leave that alone for a second. Let's try to focus on what's interesting. Erev Tavshilin, where one kazayas for everybody is enough, as opposed to an Erev Tchumen, where you need 2 sudos per person, 2 sudos of food per person. No matter how many people you have, 2 each. Okay, so I think as you're saying, you know, this is good, that in terms of the different things. In Erev Tavshilin, the idea is that you've begun the cooking. The cooking has begun. So, right, and that's the matir that you started earlier. So intrinsically, starting the cooking could be any amount. You're relying on the cooking, on the food. So the food is the food, and it's the beginning. It's a beginning, that's the idea, it's the beginning. So intrinsically, there's no shear, right, per person. I mean, there's a shear in the chafza because otherwise it's like garbage, but it's like nothing. It's, you know, it's insignificant. But once the shear chafza is significant, so now the matir for me is that I am building on that which I already have. Okay, so I'm continuing that which I've begun. So the continuing, the beginning, you could say doesn't intrinsically have a shear. Your matir doesn't really have a shear. The Chavsa is a shir because others not a Meichel of Shabbos. But your matir is that you've begun. And beginning is a qualitative idea. It doesn't matter how much you've begun. Begun is begun. Right? And each person could have begun with a tiny bit. Right? Again, it's not, it doesn't have a quality of Meichel Shel Shabbos. It's not a Kazayas. So therefore, you need to share in the entire entity. But your heter is just that you've begun. But in Eretz Yisrael, the heter, basically, it's the question is where you're dwelling. And the idea of Eretz Chum is you're changing where you're dwelling. Right? Your natural place of dwelling is your home. And but through an Eruv, you basically make your place of dwelling this other place. Your Kona Shvisa. You set up your dwelling. So, how, by virtue of what am I living there? I mean, this is my, I have a home, so why am I living there? What do you mean I'm living there? Because I say I'm living here. So the answer is because I have food there. So what does it mean I have food there? I have a tiny bit of food there? No, the idea is that I have food there to live on. So the basic amount of food for a day is 2 sudas. What's interesting is, it's a good point. I mean, you don't say 3 sudas, you know? But I was just doing today, actually, it's like, the basic for human living is 2 meals a day. Like, for instance, a poor person, you have to give them 2 meals a day. And if you don't have 2 meals, then you could take from the daily pot, you know, the daily soup kitchen or whatever. And if you don't have 14 meals, you could take from the weekly soup kitchen. You know, the Talmud, there's something called a tamboy and, I don't know what it's called. But yeah, Kupa and Tamboy, yeah, it's Allah. Kupa and Tamboy. Kupa is the daily thing and Tamboy is the weekly thing. So the basic framework of human sustenance is 2 meals a day. So Shabbos is halachically 3 meals, but that's like a halachic thing. It doesn't mean like sustenance, you know. So it seems like the din Erev, Erev Tchumen, means that I'm dwelling there. That's my place of dwelling. What do you mean it's my place for today? What does it mean it's my place of dwelling? So how do I set it out as my place of dwelling? I have an amount to dwell with. Now, the fact that if you have 2 people dwelling there, so you need 2 amounts. I mean, the fact that another guy is, you know, it doesn't matter if the chafza is a 2 sudos. The idea is that I have to be a dar here. And I have to be a dar and you have to be a dar. So you have 100 people there. You can't say, oh, we're all dar in there because there are 2 meals. But what do you do 2 meals for 100 people? It doesn't do anything. So each person needs his own meal. So dira demands a quantity of 2 sudos, right, per person. But haschala, a beginning, doesn't have a quantity. Any amount could be a beginning. So the shear in Erev Chachumen is the shear in the matir. Matir is, or the institution of the Erev is that you're going to Shvisa. So it's a shear in your Shvisa. So therefore each person is different Shvisa. But the shear by Erev Chachilin isn't the shear in the matir, and you're relying. Your relying really doesn't have a shear, it's any amount. The shear is a shear in the Chafta of the Erev, so therefore is one Erev, one Chzayis, is enough for everybody. Right? It's an interesting thing, but apparently it makes sense. It kind of makes sense that Eretz Chum doesn't go by Shabbos. Because the idea of Shvisa, the person is living there for today. What do you mean? Aren't you going to have Shabbos? I don't know. Let's say a guy's in Avayim, he's not going to have Shabbos. But he's still there. He's a dwelling place. He's a dwelling place. He has 2 meals there. Look, maybe he'll split them up. Maybe he'll have 2 meals. And the third meal is just halachic kasudas. So it could be he'll leave a little bit over. But essentially, it's the amount of food for 2 meals. It's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't have been upset if it were 3 sudas, you know, but, you know, and if we were doing the sugya, I would think it's something that would be worth, you know, developing a little bit or looking into. But I think that's where the answer lies, is that you don't define the dira by the dira of Shabbos and dira of Chol. You know, you just define dira as the basic human dira. You have a dira of 2 sudas. The shir is defined based upon, you know, like for instance, on Yontif, it's machlokas whether you need Shabbos and Yontif. Ram holds you there. But most hold you not. But there's Tchum on Yantav. So what would you say? I mean, it's going to be Tchum, the Shira of Tchum is going to be. What?
Why is there Tchum on Yantav?
There's no carrying on Yantav, but there's Tchum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's something people get confused about. But well, there is Tchum on Yantav. Tchum. There is an Isser of Tchum, of carrying, of walking outside of the Tchum on Yantav. Tchum has nothing to do with carrying. Tchum has to do with walking. So the idea is that you have to be set. On Yantif and set on Shabbos. You can't go outside the Tchum.
So you can't even walk outside
the Tchum. Yeah. Tchum is just carrying. Tchum is just walking. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why if you go to, if you're in the mountains, unless you're up in the Bungalow colonies or whatever, or if you go to New Hampshire, So there's a limit. You can't just go walking. You can't. I think like you can't be a traveler on Shabbos. You can't go outside of the. You know, there's like a limit to how far you go. But you could place in a tchum if you know the neighbor's tchum to be, you know, to go further. But that's even on Yantif. So I'm saying is if you were to say that you need three sudos, then what you have to say Shabbos Yantif is two different shirim and tchum. And that would be funny. You know, it's basically it's. I mean, that's like if you don't know like Ram. If Ram says you know sudos on Yantif also, so then you know that's not exactly you know. But I'm saying the concept, I think, is still the same, is that the shir of Dira is goes by the basic human idea of Dira. It doesn't go by the halachic system tells you that you should have three meals on Shabbos. You know, that's almost like accident. Okay. So we're good. So the question is what about Erev Chatzeros? The question is Erev Chatzeros, right? So let's review again. Erev Chatzeros means is that, I mean, we have to understand what these things are, right? Otherwise you can't really do this. Right, like in Eretz Chum, if you don't know what Eretz Chum is, I mean, otherwise they're just three words that start with Erev. I mean, you're not going to be able to understand these things. You have to have, at least have some insight into what they are. Right? I mean, that's what it came from so far. So we have to understand. So what's Erev Chatzeros? So if you recall, the Oraisa, Rishus HaRabim is a place which is open to the public, let's say. And if the place has walls, then it's not Rishus HaRabim. Okay, and there's no sort of carrying in that place, the Oraisa. Okay, but so if you have a courtyard which has many houses in there, so the Oraisa has walls around it. It's a courtyard, it has walls around it. Let's say, so basically, it's a Rishus Yachid, and you're allowed to carry there. Period. From your houses to there, everything. The only thing is that sometimes first people would consider it like a Rishus Rabim because it's owned by many people as joint owners. You know, so a person sometimes judges private and public based upon ownership as opposed to based upon the halachic criteria of walls or no walls, right? So people get confused. So in order to prevent people from getting confused, they said you're only allowed to carry, you have to treat it basically like Rishus HaRabim, unless you have an Erev which basically underscores the fact, it reminds everybody of the fact that this is really an Erev, this is really one Rishus Yachid. And how so? Because the Erev is basically a food which they're all joined up in this food. So we all have a kinyan in this food. And this is the food of all of ours. And he says, we're all, just like we all own this food and the place of the place where this food is located, so we all have a joint ownership of this common area. And it's all like one, or it's all one common area. And basically you underscore the fact that it's really one Rishus Yachid. Right? So the question is, so fine, so the food basically sets up the unification. But how much food do you need? So the saying is, you need a grogeres per person. Grogeres per person. Up until a maximum of two sudos. So it's a good question, Stam, why? I have no idea of the answer to this, but why is it a grogeres and not a gazayas? Right? Grogeres comes up on Yom Kippur also, I think. The grogeres is a fig. I think what I forget how big it is. What?
You see the thing?
Gerogeres.
Gerogeres? It's bigger than a gazayas, yeah.
I think it's maybe 1.5. I can't remember. Okay. Anyone remember?
What is?
What? I don't know. What do you think? It's definitely. I'm almost positive. It's definitely more than a gazayas. Because they say on Yom Kippur, it's not just. I don't know. That's a question. But I think so. The idea is Yom Kippur. It's not just an eating that's allowed, but it's an eating which. I forget the Hebrew of the phrase, but that it revives, rejuvenates you. So it's not, because the Mir Kazayas, it's true, it's defined as Achila, but it doesn't have the property of bringing back your spirits. So it has to be more than a Kazayas when the Achila has the property of removing your Eno, removing the affliction. So the Shir is a Grogeres. But I think it's like 1.5, if I remember correctly. The Gemara asks whether you include the Pet or not. It's a question whether you include the Pet or not. But, right, it's a fig, but figs have pets. I don't know. Yeah, so the point is fine. So that's a stomach question. Why isn't it exercise? I answer me in Kippur, why isn't it exercise? But I don't know why here, so I don't know. I mean, presumably it's discussed. I just don't answer. I don't know. But my question more is fun, whatever, because the Gogos is the left. But what's the sense of saying, I understand the saying is you need a Gogos altogether. I understand the sense of saying you need a Gogos per person. But what's the sense of saying Gogos per person up until the maximum of two sudos? I mean, that's like neither here nor there. Is it a fixed amount of two sudos? And you should always need two sudos. Or is it per person or anything? You should always need Gezeiras per person. Right? And this is a halacha that we use all the time because of our communities have, you know, have a box of matzahs. So it would be nice if we could understand it a little bit. The thing maybe there's an idea of chashivas. Maybe that's the word we need here. That you have this has to be like a partnership. Right? The thing is they're saying is we're partners. Just like we're partners in this food, so we're partners in the courtyard, right? And that's the way it works. Right? You're underscoring the fact that it's a partnership in the courtyard. And therefore it's a shizayachid. Just like we're partners in the food, so we're partners in the thing, right? So now let's see a partnership. If you have a partnership where basically you have a fig and you have 10 people who are partners in that one fig, I mean the partnership lacks chashivos, right? It's like that's what kind of partnership is that? I mean each person doesn't have anything. I mean it's like it's insignificant.
Chashivos
is important significance. So it's like not, it lacks in being a partnership. You know, we're partners in a fig. 10 people are partners in a fig. We each have 1/10 of a fig. It's ridiculous. But if you have like a big challah, let's say, which is 18 figs worth, you'll say we're partners in that thing. What does it mean we're partners? Each person has a good amount, has a grower's worth of it. So it's a big thing. And we each have a significant share, namely a grower's worth of eating, an amount that could eat me and sustain me, whatever, if, you know, have an effect on my body. You know, maybe that's why it's a grower's not exactly an amount that could affect me. So saying is that the partnership now becomes chashuv. The partnership has chashivas to it because each person has a significant share. But maybe there's a point is that if the chafza is big enough, then the partnership has significance simply by the fact that what the chafza of the partnership is. Like you could have a company, and a company could be joined and owned by millions and billions of shareholders. So even if each shareholder may own a little bit, but you're not going to say it's an insignificant partnership because each person only owns a little bit. It's significant. The partnership is significant because of what it's a partnership in. You know? So the chashivas could come from the chafta which is jointly owned, or even if the chafta which is jointly owned isn't so significant intrinsically and objectively, but relative to what they own, how many people there are, it's significant. So for instance, if I have, let's say, 10 grogerses, so the question is that significant? Is that a significant partnership? So I'll say it depends. If there's 20 people, 50 people in it, I'll say, well, that's not a significant partnership. Each guy has nothing. If there's only 2 people in it, I'll say, yeah, that's a significant partnership. We're each a partner. We each have 5 things. But once I have 18 grogerses, it's already like a davar chashuv intrinsically. Objectively, it's a davar chashuv. So now the chashivas, now we say we're partners in the thing. You know, the chashivas doesn't have to come from the individual shares. The partnership is significant because of the object of the partnership. So it could be chashuv because the object of the partnership or because of the share of the individual partners. Either way, it's the point is that you have to, the partnership has to be substantial. It's the idea of chashivas. Like it can't be just like a little nothing. It has to be substantial because that's what reminds them. It's akar. If you have an insubstantial partnership, it doesn't have any function as akar that we're joined. So it's a sheer and chashivas of the thing. You know? Now, why exactly that's the line? Two sudos and whatever, I don't know. I'm just saying that introducing the idea of Hashiva seems to explain the idea that you have a split share like this. What's new next is a question about whether you could place an Erev Tachumen and Chatzeros on Yontif. If you have Yontif to Shabbos back to back. So, and I didn't place an Erev for Shabbos. So now Friday is Yontif. So can I place the Erev on Friday for Shabbos? For Yontif, it's too late. Right, for Erev Tachumen. There's no need for Erev Chatzeros on Shabbos, right? There's no sort of carrying on Yontif. There's no sort of carrying on Yontif. But can I place it on Yontif for Shabbos? Okay, so the Gemara is Yotez Zayinim Abez. And we're kind of getting back to where we left off. I mean, the next Gemara we already did. So this basically goes to Tanur Rabban in the beginning of the line. It's about, I don't know, 3/5 of the way down the page. Yontif Shechal Yosef Erev Shabbos in Ma'arav and Loyot Chum Leir Chatzeros. Rabbi Omer, basically just go through dots. It's good. Okay, look at Rashi. Rashi. So, like, what's
that point? 3/5.
Tana Rabbanan is the beginning of a line.
Means where to go into.
Until where? Until the two dots.
Up to the two dots, okay. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that should keep us busy for tomorrow. And I'd like to do, after that, I think I'd like to do this Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos there. But in order to do that, I think we have to do this Gemara and Erevin. So, it's, you know, start getting a little more complicated. Just giving you a little heads up. Okay? Not too bad, I don't think. Okay.